The first piece we want to look at is an Abarbanel. The Abarbanel speaks, it gives a general pointer about understanding Ovis. Ukvayadate says, Shasipur me'elu kulam hoyu v'koru kulam kipshtuta amlashan shurim ha'hem. The Abarbanel is addressing the following point. Many of Svarim deal with the Ovis in terms of spheres, things like that, Avram is Chesed, and Yitzhak is Gevura, and Din, and so on. One might get the impression that it's a way to allegorize Ovis and to sort of make them into representing Midos and so on. And the Rabbanel says that that's absolutely not correct. He says the events are to be taken literal, with as being literal people, and these things happen to them. We learn a lot from them, things that are very, very significant. So he says the Ovis were created as manifestations of something abstract. Now, let's try to describe that point. Those words, Tzura Sichlis, Tzura Sametzias HaSichli, means they are conceptual realities as well. So, for instance, if I have there's a piece of wood, there's a tree trunk laying around, and I ask somebody, what is this tree, the shape of the tree, and he tells me it's circular. So it starts with a physical entity, and I sort of describe it in terms of being circular. Let's say I have I'm trying to demonstrate a circle, I take a compass, and I set a certain radius, and I make a circle. That circle is the realization of the idea of a circle with a 5-inch radius. So it's true that the circle is a real piece of lead that exists on a piece of paper, much the same as the tree trunk exists, but this circle on paper is also a circle. It's the final stage of the idea of a circle that I had in my head. The Ovos are not, it's not the pshat they were wonderful people, each one was a tzaddik, and each one b'mikra decided, I might as well specialize in chesed, I think I'm going to really come down on avoda, and so on. No, each av is sort of the embodiment of a certain principle. Now the question is, could they have, they obviously had Bechira, you could have ended up with Yitzchak not doing Avodah, Yaakov not doing Torah or whatever, and so on. It's not that they were that way, they had to be the way they were, but their potential good was by far greater than anyone else's potential good. In this far greater, I mean far more specific. Most everybody afterwards, we are all children of Avraham and Yaakov. We all have various different ratios of personality in us that lead us one direction or another direction. Just like when you have elements and then you have compounds and then you have mixtures and so on, you have different dargas of how specific something is. The others were, so to speak, the elements. And therefore, they were, Avram is the embodiment of Chesed, Yitzhak is the embodiment of Avoda, or Din, and Yaakov is the embodiment of Torah, or Emes. Those are all, that's why we can go back to the others, and we can use them almost as synonyms for different Hanhagas and Vemidas. The reason why Kabbalah's firm will use Rachel and Leah and Avram and Yitzhak Yaakov as symbols is because they actually, they embodied very, very clear, very sharp hanhagas. So they were appropriate. But not that they're allegories that didn't exist. They existed exactly like it says in Chumash, but the reason they fit these meters is so much because that's how they were planned. As a side point, it's not only, Kabbalah is, it's used positively. The from Philo onwards, maybe even before him, people who wanted to deny Torah didn't deny the legitimacy of its teachings, but they simply said that it's not to be read as pshat, it's to be read as allegory, and which is kind of quote unquote the modern take on religion. They think it's called fabulation, which means the Russian fable. Like, Torah is an awesome, awesome book. It's sort of degrading it to make it into a story that really happened. These are fantastic stories that have so ripe in meaning, but they're stories. Chas v'shalom. And we had a piece like this in the Ikrim in the beginning in Bereishis, when he speaks about Torah. There's been a Bechaya by the Luchos that it says Mishnei Evrehem, that both sides of the Luchos had the same writing inside and outside. The Rishonim all make this point one place or another, that on the one hand it's appropriate to see, let's say, Avos and Adam and so on as embodying some extremely, extremely specific traits and events, and yet they are emes and metzias and so on. Okay, the next piece is the Kuzari. Kuzari speaks about the Ma'ala of Eretz Yisrael, which in the Kuzari takes up a lot of room, something the Kuzari speaks a lot about. And he tries to explain what is Eretz Yisrael. And he says, HaMokom Azeh Noima Oid Lefnei Kein, Nema Oid Lefnei Kein, Vayifka Bamokom. Eretz Yisrael is something, or the Beis HaMikdash, is something that is a very specific place that has certain milas. Like it says, Vayifka Bamokom. V'semesu Makom Yuchud. There was the place. V'chein HaTaroya, Ki Bechir Anshe HaSkul, you see the greatest man, Avram, after he became Shalom and worthy of becoming Dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whoever may answer Mokom Ahu was transferred from his country to that place. Now he draws a certain illustration. A farmer does like that. A farmer is walking and he sees a small sapling of a tree that really seems to be good. He transfers it to earth that has been cultivated. So if it is a type of earth which it seems it's going to dwell in it. He will cultivate it till it becomes a good tree. Until now it was just a wild bush growing. It'll become the Ilumat Smirlan Shabla Minehu. It will now become a tree that will be able to bring out many other trees like that. Rather than just being sort of a random event someplace in the desert. So the way the Kuzi describes it, Israel, is really, really a very apt description. He says Eretz Yisrael is the fertile ground wherein to plant that which is good to bring out the best. Which means A, no matter how good something is, if it's not in Eretz Yisrael, it has a ceiling. It's just like if you pot a plant or if it's growing in the wild, it will always be limited in how far it can grow and so on, either because of lack of nutrients or because there are weeds and animals and who knows what. On the other hand, it is Yisrael in itself, if a person puts down a tree on the ground, as fertile as the ground is and whatever it is, if he lies the tree down, it's not doing anything. You have to put it in right, you have to cultivate it, and so on. A person living in Eretz Yisrael in itself does not make him virtuous, and it is not virtuous automatically. It's a place wherein things of virtue can realize themselves. He says, V'cheinei edvar nevuah gam mezal shavam Eretz Yisrael. Same thing was true about nevuah in the Zahar Shel Avram. Kol yimei yesem Eretz Yisrael, rabu nosu nevuah, as long as in Eretz Yisrael there were many prophets, utnoim rabam siyum bedvar atayas v'adakavranis. And there were many aspects of Eretz Yisrael that helped them. The fact that there was Tahara and Avoda and Karbonis, Valakol Kivas Hashchina. Ki ha'inyen aloiki ki lo'imid anotzav sheroiloi. The divine presence, prophecy, Ruach HaKodesh, is sort of standing there waiting for the appropriate person, like the Nevi'im Chassidim, upon who to rest. In other words, the nevuah and the Ruach HaKodesh and all the things that we associate with the divine are waiting for someone who is capable of having it, and therefore the people that are special, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, attain this and they become worthy of it. Okay, the next piece is a Torah HaMincha, which is the Rashba's Talmud, Agav Skili, and he speaks about what was the point of Lech Lecha. Now, it's the first one, the Kuzari points out at the Milos of Eretz Yisrael, and Avraham Avinu at this point was like a plant, like a tree that had been cultivated in a greenhouse and had reached had reached what it could reach in being a potted plant, and now it was going to have to be put into good ground. The Torah HaMincha has a different view of it, has a different perspective. Umiyad shetiv hidbik hasakosavoy bachavoy v'koreyo v'her libel hisrim komo. As soon as he deher HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved him and called him and said, go. Dechsiv v'itzeisim urkastim. Hu dechsiv v'yem asha avrom lecho ma'atzim la'atcha v'chulu. V'loma hei libel hisrim komoy. Why? Kedesh liyishtaka ben arishoyim v'yachaluhu v'shkareyim u'pachzusam. That he didn't want him to sink in between the rishoyim who will then be marshal him. Ki harbe shcheinim royim oisim. Bad neighbors affect a person negatively. Sha'af bish adam tzadik sholim v'shamayim. Even if a person is a real tzadik, Roiva smada v'chavas v'shoyim, being a long time with Rishoyim, hateva nimshach achreihem, he gets dragged along. Vein adam margesh achim tzatzma yotze mideh tzit koysav u'bolat v'shoyim. Person doesn't even feel how he's slowly becoming absorbed by the society of Rishoyim around him. V'al kein yeshachol bal nefesh haroi tzavedes shamayim lidovik b'emesach m'asheka. Anyone who wants to be over Shemayim Be'emes should move away from Sheker. Moving away from Sheker is part of that which it protects him. That's what I mean. Sarachim mimesei Sheker v'zurachayim. To move away from people that are doing Sheker. V'zeo sheher Hashem Yisbaruch leivav Avram avinu lazev artzom latev es aviv. And that's our Kadosh Baruch who moved Avram to leave his country and so on, the Srachimim, to get away from them. Rosh HaMincha has a very, very different understanding of the tzivui of Avraham Avinu to leave his country, everything. He was, the Rosh HaMincha says, Avraham Avinu, because he was good, would have been negatively affected by the society around him.
Well, yes. But wasn't the society in Canaan at that time not exactly exemplary?
True, but it still was better, I guess, than where he was coming from. Even though he sent back Yitzchak to him, it could also be, I don't have the whole testament in front of me, it could be there's a difference between a society that's your family and your kin as opposed to different people. For instance, in America, we'd be affected a lot by Americans. But we have to move to Tanzania, the effect of a society on us would be limited because not part of it. Maybe that's why. This is a very famous phenomenon, Milchus Deus, who makes that point. This is obviously an extremely important aspect of deciding where a person should live. A person shouldn't fool himself. A person sometimes has the ability and the means to buy in a place that's upscale. And usually, there seems to be a tendency that places that are upscale have their share of issues. And a person should never walk around feeling, I'm immune to those issues. I won't be affected by it. A person is affected by the people around him. That's a metzius. And a person has to make those choices very clearly. I want to add one more point. This would seem to exclude anyone going and being Makarev, Mashpia, on places. Obviously, if you're going to Makarev or Mashpia or whatever it is, you're always, being the Chostar, you're always going down something. And one wants to understand what's the justification for it, and so on. So I'd like to, obviously I'm not, I mean, there are people that actually feel that way, and they basically discourage people from doing any type of Kirov-associated work, and so on and so forth. It's not the Mahalach, not the Shittas that I was brought up with. So I want to use a little bit of a sort of a Gemara, to halacha, to adapt to this phrase. The Gemara says that when you're shechting, there's a question of the knife is hot. It's a bolea from the blood that's coming out, and then it's infecting the blood back again into the basar, and it should make a trade. So the Gemara says that the Vriden Eidet the Torah treated Lemifliti Lobali. Because they are pouring out, they're not absorbing. So it's like, it's sort of the cells, so to speak, the cell membranes are a one-way street. Either materials are going out or materials coming in. There's no two-way traffic there. So it being that when you're shechting, the vrid are very busy pouring out blood, they don't absorb anything, even if the knife is hot and so on. That's a halacha. If a person is in a mashpia mode, then in a certain sense at that point he's not open to absorbing. He is giving. So it is a protection for the person that as long as the person is the one who's being mashpia and so on and so forth, then he doesn't absorb from what's around him. There's always a danger that a person puts his head down for a while. We're not mashpiyim 24/7, so we sometimes sort of take our hat off and drink a beer together with the boys, and so to speak. And there are moments and times when a person is affected. Same thing is true with kids. Someone had a shiloh. Somebody acquaintance of mine, he was a very very effective rabbi. He was living in a very firm community. He worked as a professional, and they had a family of kids, very nice. And he was called upon to be a rav in a much lesser community, but where this person had very powerful abilities to really affect them positively. And he asked an Adam Chashev about his kids. He was worried about his kids, and the person told him, maybe if your kids see you as a mashpia, it will make a bigger reishim on them than if they see you as a mere you know, one of many Balabatim. I don't know if that was this reason, but Baruch Hashem, this person's children are, you know, they're two married already, and they're, you know, they're all Lomdei Torah and Yoshev Torah, Marbitzei Torah, and so on. It's, you know, it has had that effect. So when a person is in a mode of being mashpia on other people, it is a certain protection from being affected by the society around him. Especially if there are barriers like this. So if it doesn't pass, if there's sort of a covered barrier where it's not acceptable for you to hang out with everyone else. Being the Rav, you have to be different, apart, and so on. It does at times create a certain wedge which allows you to not be affected. Kids is more difficult. Kids, it's very hard to tell kids don't play with this kid, that kid. It's not a very good thing. But Akapanim, it's a certain mahaloch to prevent this type of issue. Okay, the next one is a Svarnu. It says Veye Bracha. The word Veye Bracha is not clear what that means. I mean, what does it mean you shall be a Bracha? Rashi says. So so the Svarnu says Birchas Hashem Hi Sheyismach Hashem B'masav. The bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach B'maisa. Vashomer Chazal Yishmol B'ni Barcheni. Amatel Yotzem Fanecha Sheyigolo Rachamecha Al Banecha. Amayim Kein Heyeli Bracha B'mashat Yizboinen V'tikne Shleimus Ot Lamed Asam. In other words, the word bracha, let's explain it more at its shoresh. The word bracha is something which relates to ribui, when a person plants 100 seeds and they grow into 1,000 into 1,000 fruits, that's bracha. When a person sees bracha b'maisa yadav, I made a store and the store is producing a lot of revenue, a lot of people coming to buying and selling and so on and so forth. So bracha is always a sort of a fruition, it's whatever I put in, it bears the fruit that I want. Aror is always kind of something which is barren, it's fruitless, doesn't bear any fruit. So when the bria develops into that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, then kaviyochel, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. He says when Yishmol says Yishmol bni barcheni, so he learns the Yosef Anashe Galach Mochal Banecha means you shall see the good in the banim. It is a bracha in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deher the toiv, and that's a bracha of Hashem. That's the bruchas Hashem. So he told him, "Vaye bracha means you shall be the expression, you shall be the tachlis of the bria. I'm looking at you to be the realization of that which I planted in the bria." Okay. Next was Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, "Vavarchom varchecho umikalol chaor." He says, "V'lochein hiska Hashem yizkor k'nei kol aminim ha'ilu, ve'eschel gagod l'vavrecha v'gad l'shmech v'yibrocha, v'nei shekol ha'koyches kulon shemina v'rezora, ein b'yodim l'hoise v'groya, al kefi mas nimsam v'fkudosam, v'kos k'en shem k'och l'asadav v'yifuchoy." This is a point, Maral says it many times and explains it and so on. It's the difference between malochim, Hanhog Malachim and Halog HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochu, is a Malach is always Mugval. The Malach is, it always has boundaries. Now, boundaries can be quite wide, quite broad. So let's take an example. What powers does a prosecutor have, in a court, and what powers does a defending attorney have? And you can go from different levels. He can simply sum up the evidence. He can inquire. He can look for evidence. He can bring the court, the case to the court. You know, you can broaden and broaden and broaden. The one thing you can't say logically is the prosecutor does not have the ability to defend the to defend the plaintiff. That's it's an impossibility, except for Soviet Russia, which is lamaila from all impossibilities. But you can't have, by definition, the person whose job is to find fault can't find the good, and vice versa. If the defense attorney would get up and say, "Your Honor, this defendant is such a horrible person. I don't think the prosecution is asking for enough." I mean, then that person doesn't have a defense. It doesn't can't exist. Everything in the Bria has gvulas, which means the gvulas can be broader or narrow, but they can't be the opposite. Refol can heal people. Refol can prevent maybe sickness. Refol can't kill people. The limitation of Dava Vifucho is the ultimate limitation on anything in the Bria. A thing cannot be itself and its opposite. By definition, the opposite is not the thing. A and minus A are opposites. There's no way A can equal minus A. There's no such equivalency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only chelek in the Bria that's klali, and therefore, he says, "Shari koychav madim gam kiyamu demina adam yibar izrav." Engav v'elazo lo oil kim bepur onas darkehezer darkatov. Madim is the star. It's the mazel. It's Mars that is the mazel of blood. It's warfare, so it can help a person, but it helps a person by fighting the enemy. So it is what it is. It's a military might of sorts, and it can sometimes harm you and sometimes be good for you, but it can only be good in a very specific way, through war. All other kochos, emem koch lahol, el kfima shenim selem belvat, yetov ura, enem koch lasa sefechay. So all these things don't have any ability to do things that are bad or good in both directions. L'chach hoisiv kan v'avorchem v'archechom akalocha or kudova v'yifuchoy. That's why the pasuk says, "I'm Hashem, I am Hashem, and therefore I give you bracha and klola." It's the one thing that you have when you have a direct ties of Hashem Baruch Hu is to be able to do dava v'yifuchoy. In other words, the koach to be able to do everything, to include all. there's a chazal in Medrash. It says, "Mi yitein tomei mitohar lo echad, tohar mitomei lo echad." Who can make a Tohar come out of a Tomei? Only Echad, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the one of the world. So it gives a whole list of things, how Terach was Tomei, and Avram came from him, Hofach Nega, Kula Hofach Lovin is Tohar. If you have a little bit of a Nega, it's Tomei. If it's Kula Lovin, it's Tohar. The ability for Tomei to morph into Tohar is something that shows you that the Shorish of it is the one. The Shorish of the two opposites is really one inyan. For instance, let's take a mushel, and I'll try to. I'm sure everyone has seen these pictures, white on black, like it's sort of a relief picture. White and black, it's a cup, and you look at it and they say, okay, is it a cup or is it a head? Look at the white and you'll see the black outlined as a head. Look at the black, you'll see the white outlined as a cup. So you've seen these little, I don't know, cute things around, like optical illusion type stuff. And the answer is Well, yes, the white has a certain shape and the black has a certain shape, but when I look at the big overall picture, then I see the shapes coming together. It's a certain circle in pressed between two colors, and looking at it from this way, this way, the other way. To be able to see past the opposites is to be able to understand the circle that includes everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klapi Malachim is the whole, the entire, the all-encompassing versus the chelik, versus the part. Paul speaks about this a lot, that Klal Yisrael also has that type of tchuna. Klal Yisrael is obviously not all-powerful, but Klal Yisrael is the only Uma that includes all the kohos. The Ayin Umas, each one has its own koach, and Klal Yisrael includes all the kohos. That's why Klal Yisrael is the Maila from Sarah Mazolas, because Klal Yisrael can include everything. I don't go off into it, but it's a very important point in the sense of the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and any other midah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Mavo Midoso. A Malach can't be Nosipanim, because if the Malach has the following Tzura, that X is permissible, Y is not permissible, that's the end of it. All the extraordinary midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that transcend Malachim and Kochos Mazolas are because of the all-inclusiveness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The aspect of Kol, like he says, Ani Hashem Oisek Kolela. The fact that the good and the bad in the world all come from a common point. So just like the photographer or the artist uses both the black and the white, even though they're opposite, to bring out a certain picture in the contrast, so he transcends the opposites, and the opposites are just tools in his hands. Once he's put it down on paper, white and black are totally opposite. One reflects the light, one absorbs the light. But as long as the person who's put it down is the one that includes it all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga is that he's all-inclusive, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a Pet Avram who recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu as transcending all cultures in the world. He told him, I am the one who can give bracha and klala in the same package. Okay, we'll hold it here.